It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Was I on? I felt like I was off a couple times. Yeah. I do that a lot. I'm used to that one a little faster when I used to play it. Yeah. Oh yeah. Forgot about that.
You never know what the herd's going to do when they're walking out. The conversations that they have, man, it's beautiful. I love it. And you never know whenever you have my little two-year-old in here, Wesley, what he's going to try to do. He tried to escape out of here earlier. I don't know if you guys saw that, witnessed it, but he snuck right by Robert and just kept going. So last week was a, for those of you that know, last week was a weird one for Bethany and I. For Bethany, we had a difficult, different week. It was just a little strange, but one of the things that last week signified was the closing of one chapter of our lives, and we are opening up a new one with joy, excitement, and expectation. You can. This is a hallelujah moment. We are officially EastEnders. We're here, and so, yeah. We are in the East End of, I keep telling people that I'm talking about where East End is. I said this is the part of Arkansas that nobody really knows what to do with, right? So it's the East End of Saline County. It's the south part of Little Rock, and they all go to Grant County Schools, and so it's just a little different. But it's okay. That's good. That means we're unique, right? And the Lord has specifically designed us to be here in East End for this community, and it's a beautiful thing, and we are so honored. I know that I've preached here for 3 weeks. Some of you guys are confused. Why is he saying this now? Well, it's because we live here now. We're good to go. We're ready. There was a fireworks show behind our house last night in honor of us. At least that's what we're telling ourselves. Okay. At 9:30, 10 o'clock after our kids were trying to go to sleep. So it's good. We it was exciting. And but we are very, very excited to be here. Like I said, we are here with expectation, ready to see God move, okay, and we know that he will. So we are are here with expectation. And the reason that I chose Philippians, we're going to go through Philippians. We're going to spend some time in Philippians over the next few months, maybe a year. I don't know. We'll see how long it takes us. But we're going to spend some time in Philippians. The reason I love this book is because we are filled with joy being here. And this book is characterized over and over again by joy. I came across this quote on the Compassion International website, and I want to share this with you. Joy is an inner feeling. Happiness is an outward expression. Joy endures hardship and trials and connects with meaning and purpose. A person pursues happiness, but they choose joy. You've always had somebody tell you that joy is a choice. It's something that you choose, and you can either be joyful or not, but you choose to be joyful. And I love joy because it's the first of the fruits of the Spirit, right? It describes who God is. He's joy-filled. So I love this book, Philippians. I love this letter that was written to the Church of Philippi because of Paul's fondness for the Church of Philippi. We're going to study the beginning of it today in Philippians 1 through 11. And so I just want to begin, if you'll go with me, in Philippians 1 through 11 here. And I love the depiction here. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Notice Paul and Timothy, they are servants. They are not leaders. They are not whatever else they could have said there. Paul could have said, I am the church leader. No, he is a servant of Christ Jesus to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I was reading through commentaries, different sermons that have been preached on this specific passage, and I was reading through Charles Spurgeon's sermon. And on the beginning of Philippians, and one of the comments that he makes, it really stuck out to me, was that Paul is clearly overcome with joy at their partnership. And I love that word, partnership. Some versions say participation in the gospel. I love that word because what that points to is there's not one part that is greater than another part, right, of the church. There are even overseers and deacons that are there that are not greater than another part of the church. They are all saints. They are all servants there to God. And we know that there's not one more significant role in this calling that we've all been called to. We know other than the head, there isn't one piece of the body that's more important than the rest. Now, if pieces of the body are missing, it's hard, but there's not one more that's more important than the rest. If you're unfamiliar with this command in Matthew 28 that we've been given, let me remind you that in the final days before he ascended, Christ said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So whenever he gives that commandment, he gives it out to his disciples, but he's saying it to the church. This is our calling in life. So here, I want you to understand that we are partners in the gospel. We are partners in the gospel, but it's not just us. The church's primary goal, I went too far, sorry. Albert, are you pushing this or am I? Is it me? Am I the one that did it? It's me. The church's primary goal is to cooperate to further the kingdom of God. Now, I want to say that I'm going to be very clear here. I want to take a second and unpack this for just a second here. That's a church phrase there, but what I want to point out to you is this: it's East End's job to cooperate with one another, East End Baptist Church to cooperate with one another to further the kingdom of God. But it doesn't stop in these walls. It's our job to work with our sister churches to cooperate together to further the kingdom of God. It doesn't stop right here. It keeps going outside of these walls. And so I think we have to be a family working towards unity with other church families to help the gospel be advanced. And he will talk about that next week in the advancement of the gospel, part of chapter 1 here. But we are called to go and participate or partner with other churches. but we have to be healthy too, right? We can't neglect this in order to do that, and we can't neglect that in order to do this. It has to be a both end. And so I believe that this is also true. Romans 12:18, Paul says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That doesn't mean just live at peace with East End Baptist Church people. That means live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with your neighbor. Live at peace with your enemy. Live at peace, as far as it depends on you, with everyone. That's a big job, isn't it? We have an opportunity, I call it an opportunity, in our home to live at peace with everybody. We got 4 kids. You know, there's peace with everybody all the time? No, it doesn't happen all the time. I guarantee you when you're moving, it doesn't happen. But the design of the calling in which we are called is that it draws us near together. It brings us closer together. If we're willing to do something that separates ourselves from one another and from one of our sister churches, then we're doing something that's dishonoring ultimately to God. He believes in unity. He designed us to live in unity, to live in union with each other. I mentioned this just a second ago. We have 4 kids, okay, ranging from 7 down to 1. He finally just turned 1 last month, right? So we've got 4 kids, and they're incredibly close. They're as thick as thieves. Wesley doesn't like to go into the nursery and leave the other two in here. He thinks something's going on with them. Okay, they're perfectly fine in here. They know what Wesley's doing. But he doesn't like to be away from him. He wants to be right next to him. He wants to be right next to mom, okay? However, all it takes is for one person to do one thing wrong, and it descends into chaos. The whole thing, okay? These thick as thieves friends turn into mortal enemies in a split second, okay? And so our kids, we take our older kids kind of away from the mess for a minute or two, and we remind them, okay, what's your last name, Elsie? And she says, Thomas. I says, what's your last name, Jet? He says, Thomas. Okay, listen, that last name is like a jersey that you're putting on every single day, okay? And it's the same jersey. We're on the same team. We're a part of the same family. So we need to pursue peace together, right? And the bottom line with all of this is that it's not just true for our family, it's true for our church family. We need to be seeking peace wholeheartedly every single day with one another. Now, I've got these, like I said, I've got these truths up here. The first truth we said was that it's the church's responsibility to submit to that calling, right? Well, I did something different today. I did this last night, and I'm sorry, this is going to throw some people off because I've got truths and I've got these statements, these joy statements that I want you to hear, okay? Because I believe the enemy wants to strike discord among us, okay? That's what he did to Adam and Eve. You know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and the serpent whispered a lie. Eve began pointing the finger at Adam, and Adam began pointing the finger at Eve. There was a problem. But joy emanates from cooperation. I said we can choose joy, right? We can choose it, and it becomes easier when we cooperate with one another, when the church does what it is designed to do. Joy emanates from cooperation. In verse 6, he continues. He says, I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and the confirmation of the gospel. So I love this strong statement. At the very, very beginning of this, the first 5 words, I am sure of this. I am positive of this. I am confident in this. I am confident that we are growing together. Paul shows his love for the church here. He says, I am confident that he will continue the good work. Isn't this what faith is all about? It's confidence in what we believe. You came into this room today and you sat down in your chair, okay, confident that it would hold you up. If we're honest with each other today, a lot of people had more faith in their chair than they do in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're honest, If we're gut level honest with each other, there's moments in time where you sit down in that chair and you have more faith in that chair than you do in Jesus. That should be a gut check for some of us. But it's hard. It's not easy. And he is moving forward all the time. He is not stagnant. In fact, I believe that God working and cooperating with us will see his will done in East End and as it is in heaven. He will see his will done. I am confident in this. What a good promise that he is working for us, and he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If you don't believe me that he doesn't stop working until it's good, okay, if you don't believe that, go back to Genesis. He didn't stop working until everything was good. In fact, he even stopped at Adam and said, it is not good for him to be alone. I'll create a helper suitable for him. And then he said it was good. He does not stop working until it's good. The reality that comes to surface here is that if we are all seeking to work within God's will for our lives, if we're seeking his will for our lives, then all of his work is going to be good in our lives. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. It's going to be good. And that doesn't mean it's good from our imagination, from our standpoint, from our view. It doesn't always look good, but guess what? It's going to be good. And he will receive the glory. His will be done. I actually think it's somewhat arrogant for us to believe that we can stop his will from being done, that there's something I can do to hinder it. Now, maybe I can step out of his will, but his will keep going. I believe that we can be confident. The church can be confident that God's good work will be done. I have a friend who shared a statement. He said he went to a church and he was preaching as a guest preacher. He was there. He had written out this sermon. And he was like, it's going to be great. I've prayed through it. It's awesome. And he said he sat in the front row and he began praying. And he said, Lord, bless this time. And he heard the Lord say to him very clearly, that's not what I want you to preach on anymore. Let me tell you something. It's uncomfortable enough for preachers to be sitting in a guest spot at a church, okay, and then for God to say, okay, look, that's not really what I want you to say, right, before you're walking out. That's a little nerve-wracking. But he said, you know what, God, I'm just going to preach the sermon you gave me earlier this week, and we'll go forward. And then at the very end of that service, a deacon stood up and said exactly what God had told him to say. Listen, God's work will continue. His will be done. It's whether or not you want to submit to his will or not. Robert reminded me recently of one thing that I learned at a marriage conference that Bethany and I had attended. We're either working to grow together, Bethany and I are, we're either working to grow together or we're falling apart. Those are the two options in marriage. You're either working to grow together or you're falling apart. That's it. There is no stagnant. There is no, okay, we're good, let's just kind of ride this wave out. That's not what's going to happen. You're either growing together or falling apart. And I want to tell you something right now. Your relationship with Jesus is the exact same way. You're either growing closer to Jesus or you're walking away from him. I'm not saying that you can ever step outside of his grasp, but what I am saying is the sin in your life that you are willingly doing can drive a wedge in between you and God, and it can feel like he is very, very, very far away. But the good news is he's always right there. And he is ready for you to come home anytime. You see, I believe that the enemy desires for us to seek our own will, what we think is best for our lives. But joy emanates from God's will for our lives. If you're in God's will, you can choose joy easier. Whenever I'm selfishly seeking out my will, I find myself more angry than anything. Because things don't always go my way. But if I'm sitting in God's will for my life, it doesn't matter what happens, I can always choose joy. It doesn't matter what comes my way, I can overcome anything with God's help. I might lose a limb or two, and that's okay. But the bottom line is I can overcome anything. I can overcome any adversity with God's help. Go back and read the Old Testament stories. One of my favorite ones is Samson. Samson should be a superhero, right? But he gave in to temptation. But then he came back to God's will. And my favorite story that I have is Jet went to my father-in-law's church, and they have these circular, like cylindrical pillows, okay? A true preacher's kid fashion. He grabbed two of them, and he put them. He said, God, look, I'm Samson. And he pulls them. Okay, Samson stepped back into God's will for his life and did exactly what his purpose was. David stepped out of God's will for his life and stepped back in and did exactly what his purpose was. Moses stepped out of God's will for his life and then stepped back in and did exactly what God had divinely purposed him for. I believe that there are moments in time where we all let sin or let the enemy speak for us and help us seek our own will. And when we step back in, joy emanates from the God's will in our lives. In verse 8, he goes on. He says, for God is my witness. And I love this verse 8 to verse 11 is one of my prayers for East End. So I want you to hear this. I want you to think about this as we go through it. For God is my witness, how deeply I miss you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. And he says this, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to glory and praise God. You see, the whole relationship between Paul and the church of Philippi there is just designed. God designed it to be one made of love and joy. You can see it emanate in this passage here. You can see it break out of this passage. This portion of this passage is just absolutely beautiful. I think this should be our prayer for every single church. But most of all, I think we should be inwardly praying this for our church, that we could grow in love and in knowledge of every kind of discernment, so that we can approve the things that are superior and made maybe pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, the Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. If I had to take a poll this morning, if we took a secret poll, right? If I said, all right, everybody fill out this poll, and we had to take this poll, and I asked the question, do you want to grow in righteousness and become like Jesus? I hope, but I believe, I have confidence that everyone would say yes. Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I desire. It may not be everything that I live for all the time, but that's what I desire. That is my strongest desire. I believe we would see 100% of the people here say, that's what I want. Well, that's my prayer this morning. I believe that there is nothing we can't do as the body of Christ if we're continually growing to become like Christ. And I believe that he will work through us and we will be able to understand his will fully. It may not always be fun. It may not always be a time where it feels good, because Jesus, even in God's will for his life, didn't feel good, right? We know that from the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that he said, let this cup pass before me if there's any way. But he said, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. And I believe that's what we can say. Okay, God, if there's any other way at times, if there's any other way, let this cup pass before me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. And I believe that we can find joy when we become more like Christ. The church that looks like Christ loves like Christ. Do you see that here? So that we can approve the things that are superior and maybe pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus. The heartbeat of the church should be here. We are called to grow in holiness and sanctification. The sanctification process is ongoing. We become more and more like Jesus every single day when we are in his will. And whenever the day of Christ comes, that's when glorification becomes complete. I'm looking forward to that day, okay? All right? The day of glory, whenever we all receive that glorified body, it's going to be amazing, all right? When we're in heaven again, with him. It's going to be amazing. I listened to a song, a Phil Wickham song that came out whenever I was in college. It's called Eden, and it's I just cannot wait to see him face to face. I mean, it's just an amazing thought, right? I'm so jealous of everybody that's met him already. Like, that's just, they'll close their eyes and then open them in heaven. That's just, I'm just jealous of that. Now, don't tell my wife that. She gets on to me every single time I say that. Like, it's going to be a great day, okay? But Matthew 28, again, it sums this up. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The calling is simple. The command is simple. Go and make. And not only bring them into the family of God, but make them knowledgeable of all that Christ has given us and commanded of us. We will be more successful at this when we look and love like Christ. All Jesus did to his first disciples was say, come with me. That's all he did. He said, come with me. And the ones that were fishing said they put down their nets and they left. When we look and we love like Christ, it's going to be hard, okay? He was met with opposition, but it's going to be good. And we're going to be more successful because we'll be walking in his will for our life. You see, the enemy desires that you would give up. How many of us have said that? Lord, I shared the gospel today, but they didn't believe. So I'm done with that. It was hard, and I feel rejected, and it's difficult. The enemy wants you to do that. My favorite quote from John Piper says this: it is not your job to be fruitful. It's your job to be faithful to the calling that he's put on your life. It is God's job to be fruitful in that. And if you've been rejected because you've shared the gospel with someone, guess what? Jesus knows exactly how you feel. The enemy wants you to give up, but joy is found when we don't. You can walk away from somebody that's rejected Jesus because they rejected Jesus, not you. And it's okay because you are called to be faithful to what he has called you to. That doesn't mean you're never discouraged. That's not what that means. And I want to be very clear here. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher. I'm not going to say, listen, if you just give a little bit more, that's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying you'll never be discouraged. I'm not saying that you'll never find opposition. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is when you are faithful to the promise that he has for your life, okay, it's going to be hard. I promise you that. But it is also going to be very, very good. And joy emanates from faithfulness. It becomes a joyful thing, not an easy thing. But it becomes easier to choose even in adversity. Joy does. Even in adversity, whenever things are hard, you can still choose joy in those moments. And I believe this should be our prayer today. I'm going to invite Ben back up here, and I'm going to pray through this morning. I'm going to pray for this, and I want to share something with you because I believe... I said if we had a poll that you all would say that you want to become more righteous, you want to become more like Jesus, right? I said that. I also believe that if I gave out a poll today and said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how joyful are you? We would be hit or miss on that scale. Okay, it would be all over the place. Okay, but then the second question, if I said, do you want to be joy-filled? Every single one of you would put a 10 on that. I want to be joy-filled. Okay, and I want to tell you something right now. It's impossible on this earth to become joy-filled. It's temporary. If you find joy in anything on this earth, including your kids, your family, including sports, all of these things, right? All of these things can bring you temporary joy, and they can bring you temporary happiness, and you will show that outward expression, right? You can find that there. But let me tell you something. It is fleeting. Okay? It is fleeting. It'll be for a moment. Okay? But I know that through Christ Jesus, joy comes every single morning. And so if you filled out that thing, you said, I'm not filled with joy, and I want to know how to find more joy. If that's you, I want to invite you this morning to come down and we will pray for that. If you want to have more information about what it means to live in Christ Jesus, then come down and I want to pray through that, and then we want to walk through that. I'm going to invite Doug again to come up, but we're going to do this maybe a couple more weeks, Doug, I'm sorry. But we're going to invite Doug as people get more familiar with me. Maybe Doug doesn't have to come up as much, but what I want for you is to not miss the opportunity to live a joy-filled life, okay? Because there is an opportunity every single day. And I want to say this, don't hesitate. If that's something you're interested in, maybe you're not ready to make the decision today. If it's something you're interested in, you just want more information, come forward. If it's something that you're like, that's what I want, and I know God's calling me to it, don't hesitate to come down today and make that decision to submit your life to what God has for you, okay? God, I lift up these verses to you. God, I pray that at East End Baptist Church, that your love will keep on growing and that we will grow in knowledge and every kind of discernment so that we can approve the things that are superior, that we may be made pure and blameless in the day of Christ, because we are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus alone. And God, I pray that your glory and your honor would shine through all of this, and that we could be a part of giving you rightful praise. Lord, I pray that if you're working in anyone's heart this morning, God, that you would not let them hesitate, that you would make them bold, that you would speak to them and say, this is what I am calling you to, and that you would give them the boldness to submit to you. Lord, we know that it seems scary to submit to something. But God, we know that when we give our lives to you and when you come in and transform us and give us new life, there's more freedom in that than there's ever been. God, you promised us that your yoke was easy and your burden was light. And so God, I just pray that you would continue to transform lives here. Lord, that you would allow us to be catalysts for change in our community, and God, that we would glorify you above all else, and that we would give you the honor and praise that you deserve, God, with our entire lives. Lord, help our lives be characterized by the joy that you bring, and help us to be joy-filled in the Spirit today. We ask all of this in your precious and holy Son's name. Amen.
So stand.